Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packer fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Hope your weekend is going amazing. We've got a great show for you today. A type of episode that I've never done before, I don't think. And that kind of makes me excited to do it. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Before we get there, two things really, really quick. Number one, I want to give a huge, huge, huge shout out to Ross Uglum, who has just done an unbelievable job with the Daily Draft Series, which comes officially to an end. I know, with a tear in all of our eyes, it does officially come to an end today. Ross has his final mailbag sort of Q&A episode that will be coming later today on Sunday. And that will do it for this season of the Daily Draft. My expectation, as long as Ross is able to do it, is that we'll do this again next year. And in the meantime, I definitely want to talk with Ross. And I know Ross and I are going to probably be chatting, you know, sometime in the next few weeks about how we can have Ross continue to do something moving forward. If you have ideas for that, something that you would like Ross specifically to do on the Pack-A-Day Podcast, let us know. Put it in the comments below. Shoot me an email, packadaypodcast@gmail.com. Whatever you're thinking, you know, we're going to do some brainstorming coming up. But regardless of what happens next, just a huge, huge, tremendous shout out to Ross for all of his incredible coverage before, during, and after the draft. I think we are all more knowledgeable about these prospects because of Ross. So make sure to give him a big thank you on Twitter. Of course, you can find him on Twitter at Ross Uglum. And you can find his work over on Packer Report. He just does a tremendous job covering the team. He's done it for a long, long time now. So make sure to support him in any way that you can. They've got some great merchandise up. The link is in the notes today. So you can check out that over on PackerReport.com. So just thank you, Ross, for everything that you did through the entire draft period. And definitely sad to see this iteration of the Daily Draft come to an end. But I know there's a lot of really fun stuff moving forward. Meanwhile, we had one big piece of Packers info from Saturday. Sort of out of nowhere, we got the confirmation from Mark Murphy and his Ask 5 feature over on Packers.com that training camp will officially start Monday, July 22nd. It's going to be here before you know it. We're in June 2nd today. June 2nd. Monday, July 22nd is the start of training camp. Like I said, it's going to be here in a blink of an eye. It certainly did not work out great for me. Usually they start that training camp on Wednesday. I had a vacation planned through Tuesday, so I'm going to have to do a little bit of reshuffling, but I know that's not what we care to talk about here. We're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers having not only training camp on that Monday, but holding their shareholders meeting on that Monday as well, which should be, I would assume, a very crowded 1265 during that opening day of training camp, with not only the shareholders meeting going on, but also that first day of camp. So it should be a ton of energy and excitement. Really, in all likelihood, I don't know if mini camp is going to be open to fans. There's been not any announcement of it so far, and it's in like a week and a half. So I'm assuming that mini camp is not going to be open to fans, which is still such a huge bummer. This is a team owned by the fans, Green Bay Packers. Can you open up one mini camp so that the fans can watch their new free agents and draft picks before the start of training camp? No, it's probably not going to happen. It's probably just done, which is definitely a bummer. But that'll be the first opportunity for fans to get their eyes on these new free agents and draft picks in their 2024 Green Bay Packers. So that Monday, July 22nd should be a very exciting day. And yes, I am sure I will be figuring out a way to cover it as well and do all the training camp breakdowns that we get to do all, you know, what, July and August long, which are some of the best episodes. And I think just some of the best content that we get to talk about, all the things that I get to see at training camp. And it's a really, really fun time. So I cannot wait for that. All right. That brings us to our main topic for today, which is there is no topic for today. And this is what I mean. I don't think I've ever done this. I don't think I've ever done this on the audio channel. I don't think I've ever done this on the video channel, where I've just had some things kind of coursing through my mind that aren't necessarily worthy of a huge episode. Just kind of things that I'm thinking about from a Packers standpoint. And I figured we'd take it a little bit more casual today and just kind of go through some of these things that have been at the top of my mind that I've wanted to get out there. And there wasn't really a medium to do so. So today we're going to do it. We're just going to talk about a bunch of random different things about the Green Bay Packers, like I said, that have been sort of circling within my mind. So let us start with Jeff Hafley. I don't know how to define this. And there's certainly not going to be anything that can back it up until we get into the regular season, the playoffs, etc., and we actually see Jeff Hafley for an extended period of time. But I will tell you, it feels very different to me than Mike Pettine, and certainly the end of the Dom Capers era, than it felt with Joe Barry coming on. It just, there is a almost tangible feel to Jeff Hafley. And how I would equate it is that it's like they hired another head coach. That's how I view it. Matt is the overarching coach. We know that. You've got Rich Bisaccia leading the special teams. It felt a little bit before like Matt wanted to give full autonomy to Joe, but just could never really get there. The defense didn't perform the way that it needed to give him that full autonomy. And I think Matt had to probably be more involved with the defense than he probably wanted or should have been in that situation. And now it feels like Jeff Hafley has that autonomy, has that trust and faith from Matt LaFleur. And I'm sure Matt's going to be heavily involved as this gets rolling along to make sure that Jeff has everything in order that he needs in order to be successful and that the defense is trending in the right way, that Matt wants to see it trend as you do have this new defensive coordinator there. But I just get the feel already that Jeff Hafley has that buy-in from Matt LaFleur, from the organization. And this is the other big thing I want to talk about here with Jeff Hafley. We can talk about first impressions and how great his opening press conference was. When we covered that, we made it abundantly clear. We talked about it. You can't win any games in a press conference. First impressions are great, but you still have to go out and find ways to get stops and turnovers and everything like that in a very, very difficult league. But here's the thing. Here is what that first impression does for you. Here's what his ability to communicate with these players on their level does for him. It gets buy-in from the players. And it has been abundantly clear that there is a true buy-in from these players for what Jeff Hafley is trying to accomplish. And that is worth its weight in gold for a new coach or coordinator. That is not an easy thing always to come into a new organization that these players have been playing a certain way and or a certain style, whether it's been successful or not. And you're coming in and you're changing a bunch of stuff. You might put, players' hands in the dirt where they have not been in the dirt before. You might go to different formations, different schemes. And guess what that means for players? That means new playbook. That means new signals. That means new calls. That means new checks. That means new everything. And that is going to cause more work for players. And that can cause some angst and anxiety and frustration at times. But it is crystal clear that Jeff Hafley has already received the buy-in of these players. And just watching him interact with players and just sort of how he views the game, he's kind of sitting as like the post safety, like keeping his eyes on everything in front of him on the defensive end, evaluating everything. His answers to everything in the press conference have been super smart. And I'll say it one more time. He's got to go out and have this defense perform at the level that they're capable of performing at, or we will be seeing, undoubtedly fire Hafley tweets and everything else amongst the internet brethren and chat boards and everything else. You don't win anything at this point. The pads haven't even come on yet. And we don't know how he's going to respond to adversity. We don't know how he's going to do, coaching at the NFL level again after being away from, at college. We don't know how he's going to do as a coordinator as he's coming off of, again, a head coaching stint. There's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of question marks here. But the feel of it, the vibe of it, I think his first impressions, I think his getting buy-in from the players, it feels really different and it feels super important. And not only that, you can tell some of his key tenets. First of all, he wants to be a pressuring, attacking, physical team. And to be fair, There's not many defensive coordinators that are coming in saying, yep, we want to be a, you know, passive, off ball, you know, non-rallying to the football. Like, we're just going to kind of let things happen. Now, everyone's saying we want to pressure. We want to get after the quarterback. You know, we want to play an aggressive brand of football. We want to rally and tackle. Everyone's saying sort of the same things. But it, like I said, just kind of feels different with Jeff Hafley so far. I've been impressed with him on the field from how he is going about coaching, impressed with him in the press conferences, just all the way around. Now it's up to this defense and Jeff Hafley to put that together and actually put a product out on the field that Packers fans and this team can be excited about from a defensive point of view. It's been a long time. It feels like it's been forever since the Packers have had a really good defense. And hopefully, fingers crossed, Jeff Hafley is the one that can bring that defense back and get this team on the track that it needs to defensively to hopefully get that Super Bowl along the line, whether that's this year or the next year. We'll have to kind of wait and see. But very, very excited from what I've seen from Jeff Hafley so far, big asterisk and just exclamation points on so far. All right, next thing I wanted to talk about, Marshawn Lloyd. When you start watching at OTAs and rookie mini camps, you're just trying to kind of scan everything and see like what looks different, what looks good, what, like, we know we don't have the pads on or anything like that, but Marshawn Lloyd's movement skills have stood out already to me. He's a really fun player to evaluate and watch on tape. We've talked about the pass pro needing to get better. You know, welcome to the NFL. Pretty much every rookie running back you can put on the scouting report needs to get better at pass protection. Just is the name of the game. Fumbling, major issue for him. He's going to have to get that cleaned up. But what we didn't talk about is it's not like there's issues with his running style. It's not like there's issues with his athleticism. Like, this is a very good, talented running back. And when you watch him in person, and when you guys get that opportunity in training camp, or eventually when you get to watch him in preseason and regular season, you're going to see a running back that has some unique movement ability. He moves laterally so incredibly well. He's got great speed. He runs low to the ground. He's not easy to, obviously we haven't seen tackling drills, but going back to his tape, he's not easy to take down. This is a very, very fun and exciting running back. And you can see it from the very early stages of rookie minicamp and OTAs. I think that's what makes me excited here. But what a beautiful, beautiful insurance policy to have in Marshawn Lloyd. I know that Josh Jacobs is coming in because he's younger than Aaron Jones by a few years. And the hope is that he's going to be able to stay healthy through the course of the season. And by all means, that would be amazing. Sign me the heck up. But if he doesn't, we saw the AJ Dillon experience. Good back, can serve as a number two, number three running back. But when he gets thrust into that starting role, you just lose so much of that dynamic playmaking ability. With Marshawn Lloyd, even if Josh Jacobs goes out, you still have somebody who has that ability, who does have the just pure, raw, innate talent to take it the distance at any given moment. And then add in some of those other really cool traits and his just escapability and his ability to, you know, move laterally. He's got so many of the buttons on the PlayStation controller at his disposal that he's going to be a really good running back in this league. He can catch the ball to the backfield well. I'm excited. The other thing I want to talk about in regards to Lloyd too is, one is demeanor is fantastic, but the other thing is drafting him. Hey friends, I don't know about you guys, but I am getting more and more excited about the NBA Finals coming up. It's certainly looking like it's going to be Celtics-Mavs, but regardless of the matchups, the Finals should be absolutely epic. But of course, they could be even more epic with Prize Picks. The Finals mean more on Prize Picks, and so do the star players. You get boosted payouts on select basketball stars that you will not find anywhere else. And while the Finals promise to be exciting, the hoops action doesn't stop when the Finals are over. Women's basketball is just getting started, and young stars like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and Cameron Brink are immediately making a significant impact in the WNBA. And you, yes you, could win up to 100 times your cash watching them ball out with Prize Picks. You guys know by now how much I'm enjoying Prize Picks. It's completely changed my fantasy sports experience for the better. I'm already excited about my picks for this week. I'm going with Breanna Stewart, and I'm expecting a monster bounce back from Anthony Edwards against the Mavs. I'm still feeling bullish on Caitlin Clark as well, and I'm expecting her to become more and more efficient as the season goes along. So what are you waiting for? Get in on the action with Prize Picks right now. Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Brian Gutekunst, I feel like, has done a fantastic job of understanding the strengths and weaknesses of these draft classes. And you might say, all right, well, what does that have to do with Marshawn Lloyd? A lot of people are saying this running back draft class, not very good. It's not one of the better ones. It's an abysmal running back class. And to some extent, that was true. You know, we didn't see any running backs go round one. It took a while for those running backs to start getting off the board. But what everyone said is in that second to third round range, there's a lot of running backs that have, you know, second to third round talent and second to third round grades at that point in the draft. And that's where they attacked it. That's exactly where they did. And I think they got a potential steal in Marshawn Lloyd at that spot at the end of the third round. We saw last year, tight end was, you know, a very deep position. They grabbed two tight ends. You know, LVN was a premium position player that there was only a handful of those guys early in the draft, and they get one before all the edge rushers were gone. Just some of the ways that Goody has really navigated the draft. Edrian Cooper, like people were saying that at one point, hey, maybe, you know, they got to take him in the first round. Not only did they not, they wait in the second round, move down, and still get Edrian Cooper and get their favorite linebacker in the entire draft. There's no running or no linebackers that went ahead of him. So I think they've done a great job of utilizing their knowledge of the draft to find where the strengths are, where the weaknesses are, where they can exploit those strengths. And I think they've done a really great job in these past couple seasons with doing exactly that. Next up, I want to talk about Andre Dillard. We talked about Andre, obviously, when he signed, and we've talked about how an abysmal season he had in Tennessee. We talked about how things did not work out in Philadelphia. Former first-round pick, Jordan Mailata, the seventh-round rugby player who never played football before, was pretty much immediately better than the first-round pick, Andre Dillard. It was very crazy how quickly that happened. And Dillard doesn't necessarily have interior flexibility. He's a left tackle, right tackle. I just think that he's already, with Zach Tom out, he's already working with the starters. He catapults over guys like Luke Tenuta and Caleb Jones and any of the undrafted guys. He catapults to the starting lineup. We just have to look at Andre Dillard and say, listen, this is probably never going to be a player who is a really good starting tackle in this league. But there were signs in Philly that he could be a really solid swing tackle for you. And that might not be the sexiest thing in the world. Oh, great. We found a swing tackle, raised the banner at Lambeau. Sure, I get it. But the reason I want to talk about it is that Yosh Nijman role has been an important role for Green Bay. And they've used it a little bit with Rick Wagner. They've used it with some other guys too. That sixth offensive lineman that can play both of those tackle spots has been very important. And usually they get a big chunk of playing time during the season. And I think Andre Dillard isn't necessarily brought in. I know he's not brought in to be this immediate starter or things like that. But if he can learn this system and he can become Yosh Nijman for a year on a vet minimum deal with no signing bonus, that's a pretty big pickup for Goody. And he's shown well already in the very minimal stuff that we've had the opportunity of seeing. Again, he has received that, you know, quote unquote, starting right tackle job to begin with Zach Tom being out right now with injury. I just think he's trending right for a 1 year, $1 million, no guarantee sort of contract. That's exactly the type of bargain bin signing that Brian Gutekunst and company in the front office have been so freaking good at. And I think Andre Dillard has the potential and ability to fill in that Yosh Nijman role and hopefully do it as well, if maybe not even a little bit better than what Yosh Nijman did last year. Right, a couple other ones. Daniel Whalen. Two things. One, I don't think we talk about enough how good of a season he had a season ago. It's not an easy place to punt in at Lambeau Field. You also get a game at you know, Soldier Field outside. And I thought Whalen was really solid throughout the entirety of the season. And so far, been one of the best players in OTAs and mini, or in OTAs, I should say. I'm saying that semi-facetiously, but he has been booming the heck out of the ball in windy conditions, both against and with the wind. It has been really fun to watch. You can hear the ball getting launched off of his foot. It has a great sound. Like, I think they found their legitimate long-term punter. Again, we don't really talk about it. Nobody really wants to talk about the punter. I get that. But I do think Green Bay found he was an XFL guy. He was an XFL guy. And once again, Green Bay did their due diligence. And he was even, I think, doing some kicking. And there's some questions, I think. Either way, they found their punter. I think hopefully they can get him to a long-term deal. Don't have to mess with that anymore. And I think he's been, like I said, a as much as you want to call it, he's been sort of a standout player in many, you know, OTA so far with his ability and just what he's been doing punting the football. It's been fun to watch. I guess it's fun to watch as punting in OTAs can be. Speaking of special teams, the kicking competition still gives me a lot of concern. I haven't seen enough, and we haven't seen a ton, but I want to see still more from Anders Carlson. It's great that he went, what, 7 of 8, 6 of 7, whatever it was the other day. But that's still, what, you know, 83%, you know, somewhere in that range. So I just don't think there's anything that Anders can do in preseason and training camp and in mini camps and things like that that's all of a sudden going to make us, yep, he's the guy. He's going to be really, really good. I just think there's going to have to probably be a leap of faith for one of these kickers at some point. And I don't think that's what anyone wants to hear. And I know Matt LaFleur got taken out of context last year when he said he had to pray every time Anders Carlson came up, and he was pretty upset about that, that it kind of came out that way. But, you know, a leap of faith is basically saying, hey, we don't know what's going to happen. And nobody said that. I'm saying that. You know, I don't think there's anyone that's going to necessarily have this unbelievable confidence going into the season yet. That, like, yep, Green Bay has its kicker. And Jack Pelesny has not had a great start. He was, what, 2 of 7 the other day? You know, Greg Joseph is, I think, just sort of journeyman competition. I don't know how realistic it is that he wins the job. Either way, you could tell me right now it's Pelesny, that it's somebody off the street, that it's Anders Carlson, that's any of those guys, and I wouldn't necessarily feel super great about it. So I think Green Bay still has to kind of keep their eyes open, see what happens when the UFL comes to a close, or is there anyone else that they can add? Maybe Pelesny after going 2 of 7 and struggling a bit, maybe they can change out that one. We'll see, but I still have some pretty big concerns about the overall kicking competition. All right, injuries. Man, I just really hope that I hate early injuries at this point of the season. You just want all these guys to be able to participate in OTAs and mini camps and going into training camp with confidence. I especially hate it for rookies. Ketanji Ladapo, the fact that he hurt his, you know, foot in the combine drills, and now he's going to be out probably until, you know, training camp or maybe a little bit after that. That just sucks because these are really difficult things to learn, even in the best case scenarios. And now you've got to figure out a way to, you know, to navigate everything without actually having to be or being able to be on the field. So, you know, that's going to be something that he's going to have to work through. I hate it for Tucker Kraft going into year 2. I want to see him continue to get playing time. I hate it for LVN. Zach Tom is somebody I certainly would love to not have a pec injury. Like, I hate early injuries. I hope all of those don't really affect things. I'm not concerned about Josh Jacobs. I'm not overly concerned about Zach Tom, but some of the younger guys, Tucker Kraft, Oladapo, LVN, hopefully they can get all the mental reps that they need and hopefully be ready for training camp when it kicks off. Jair, I believe, is truly a changed defensive back. I think he has understood, like, this is such a delicate thing. This is such a delicate thing to navigate through. You've got a star corner that's been a couple time all pro, and you're looking for, I think, probably a different way of playing defense. And I don't think he was super thrilled with the way that the Joe Barry defense was going and how they were utilizing him and the rest of the corners. You've got Jerry Gray that moved along after last year, which is a cornerbacks coach. And I think he was just frustrated. I think he was really, really frustrated, like a lot of fans were, quite frankly, with the defense. And I don't think he probably felt like he was listened to. He doesn't get named team captain when he is in his hometown. And just, it felt like everything was crumbling to the point where Green Bay suspends him. But you're wondering after that of, like, how is Jair going to respond to this? Like, we're probably talking about he's going to demand a trade sort of situation at the end of the season. It was already past the trade deadline, but could that be the case? I was legitimately wondering if Jair was going to be back this year just based on that. Like, I didn't know if there was a falling out. I didn't know if there was hurt feelings. I don't know what it was, but those are delicate situations to handle. And Green Bay could have probably lobbied a fine instead of doing a suspension. They sent the message. They said, we're suspending you. And Jair can go in 2 different directions. He can get defensive and say, screw you guys. It's on you. It's not on me. I don't like this defense. Get me the heck out of here. Or he can say, yeah, I got to be better and own up to it and show that he is capable of being the guy that we all know that he is capable of being. And I believe just watching him so far, knowing that he's had 100% attendance so far, It's just easy to say, I think he's legitimately back. I think he's going to have a massive impact on this season one way or the other. And I think it's going to be positive. He feels like Jair again. It feels like he's been reborn a little bit in this new Jeff Hafley defense. And I'm so excited to watch him play this upcoming season. Meanwhile, Jair was talking about Jaden Reed and said that he is a younger Randall Cobb, but better. In which case, I think he's absolutely right. I think he's spot on. Give him a scouting hat. I do think that Jaden Reed is ahead of where Randall Cobb was at this point in their respective careers. You go back that rookie season for Randall Cobb. I mean, Cobb had a couple plays here and there, had that big kick return to open the season. I think his first touchdown was on a route that he ran incorrectly. And just, you know, I think Rodgers saw him and threw it to him and the rest was history. But I think Jaden is just the better, younger player. And I, you know, maybe there's an age difference there and we'd have to look into it probably a little bit further. But I like Jair's overall assessment here. And I think that should get Packer fans very excited. Randall Cobb, obviously a tremendous career in Green Bay. And if Jaden Reed can go on to supplement that or like just supplant that of what Randall was able to do, that is a big time accomplishment. And I'm right there with Jair. Listen, Jaden is going to have a ton of opportunities. I think he's going to lead the team in catches. I think he's going to get the most consistent playing time because he's just such a natural fit in the slot. I think he's going to get some of those pop passes and quick receiver screens, which will, you know, help him generate some numbers as well. They're going to use him all three layers of the field. Jordan Love seems to already have a very good rapport with him. I'm super impressed with Jaden Reed, and I think that's going to be a big-time connection between Love and Jaden Reed for the foreseeable future. Number nine, offensive line. A lot of people asking, how would you order the offensive line? I'll say this. I don't necessarily want to take Jordan Morgan off of left tackle right away, but I kind of still like him at guard a little bit better, and I kind of just still really like Rashid Walker, and I'm not moving Zach Tom. We can just put that aside. I'm not moving Zach Tom, especially now that he's hurt. If you're going to move him, you need to have him be practicing every day at that new spot. No, he's going to be the right tackle. So Zach Tom's at right tackle. I really like Rashid still at left tackle. If you're talking about best five, if you were talking about best five, to me, Rashid has to be in the best five. There's just, Josh Myers is not better than Rashid. Sean Ryan's not better than Rashid. I don't know if Jordan Morgan's going to be better than Rashid. There's no way. Like, he is a best five. And if right tackle is taken, by Zach Tom, we don't want to move him, especially with the injury, there's no other spot for Rashid other than left tackle. So I'm putting Rashid at left tackle. I am putting Zach Tom at right tackle. Elton, very clearly, is going to earn a starting spot, but I'm going to give him, you know, whatever's left over at the end of the competition. You might be left guard, you might be center, you might be right guard. And I personally like Jordan Morgan at left guard. And then you can choose. Do you want Elton at center and Sean Ryan at right guard? Or do you want Josh Myers at center and Elton Jenkins at right guard? I think probably in that situation you go... But maybe you have Sean Ryan too. Like those are the different conversations you have to have. But I would go Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan, still on the left side. He's been left side his entire career. That he projects best as a guard in the NFL. And then Josh Myers at center. And then the best two offensive linemen right next to each other at Elton Jenkins at right guard and Zach Tom at right tackle. And hopefully that will feed families in 2024 with those two guys, you know, double teaming and picking up blitzes and twists and stunts together. I think that should really solidify a really strong side of one half of that offensive line. Then last but not least, I just want to talk about competition really quick, because I think if you look at this team, right, I was looking at this like player by player. I think the competition is going to be insane. Now, we know we already talked about our roster locks, but let's just go through. Quarterback, I think Jordan Love, Sean Clifford, and Michael Pratt all have the ability to make the team. I think Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, A.J. Dillon, Emmanuel Wilson, and maybe even Jarvion Howard at running back have the ability to make the team. I think Ellis Merriweather, probably the one that has a really steep climb ahead of him. I think Henry Pearson at fullback has the opportunity to make the team. Watson, Dobbs, Reed, Wicks, Heath, Melton, Grant Dubose, Samori Toure, I think all have a chance. I don't think Alex Magoo does. And then Dimitri Stanley's already had a few really nice practices, even going back to rookie minicamps. He's caught my eye. And then Jaden Hicks was my favorite undrafted guy as I watched the tape on him, and he really looks the part in person. He's just got to stack some success. But to me, like Alex Magoo might be the only receiver that doesn't have a real, true, legitimate chance, in my opinion, of making the 53. Tight end, Musgrave, Kraft, Tyler Davis, Ben Sims, all with that potential. I'm not sure Joel Wilson or Messiah Swinson will get there, but we'll see. Offensive line, I think almost everyone. Jordan Morgan, Elton Jenkins, Zach Tom, Josh Myers, Rashid Walker, Caleb Jones, Sean Ryan, Jacob Monk, maybe Royce Newman, Andre Dillard, Travis Glover, Donovan Jennings, Kadeem Telford. I think Lasita Smith might be the only one that doesn't have at least some chance of making that 53-man roster. On defense, Edge, Rashawn Gary, LVN, Keyshawn Banks, Preston Smith, Kingsley Nibari, Brenton Cox, maybe even Deslon Alexander would have a really good start to the offseason program. Now, maybe Aaron Mosby and Kenneth Odemegwu are probably practice squad, but overall, there's only two guys there on the defensive end. Defensive tackle, Clark, Wyatt, Wooden, Slayton, Brooks, Jonathan Ford all make it, or have the opportunity to make it, excuse me. Spencer Wagge and James Esther and those guys are going to certainly have a much, much tougher time. They probably don't have much of a shot, but still, we're talking about a ton of players on this team who have shots to make it. Linebacker, Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, Isaiah McDuffie, Eric Wilson, Christian Welch, even Christian Young. I really liked him when I went back and watched him. Not sure Raylan Goforth is going to have a huge opportunity, but still, tons of guys competing for those spots. Corners, Eric Stokes, Carrington Valentine, Robert Rochelle, Kalen King, Corey Ballantyne, Jair Alexander, Keyshawn Nixon, Zion Gilbert, Robert Rochelle, Gemin Green. Those guys are going to have a tougher climb there, but a couple of those guys, certainly not impossible. Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Ketan Oladapo, Evan Williams, Anthony Johnson Jr., Zane Anderson, Benny Sapp. I think Tyler Coyle is going to be tough to make it, but you go through and then we can go to special teams too. I think all the kickers, all the long snappers, and certainly Daniel Whalen, all have the ability to make the team. So I think this is going to be, I think there's like, I don't know, maybe eight guys that we talked about that probably just don't have a shot to make the 53. And again, even then, you never know, somebody could surprise. So the competition coming up is going to be absolutely epic, and I cannot wait for it. All right, so just a recap of what we discussed. Jeff Hafley, how impressive he's been so far. Marshawn Lloyd, his movement ability, cannot wait to see him on the field. Andre Dillard, smart pickup. Daniel Whalen is the punter in Green Bay. Kicking competition still giving me some nerves and some anxiousness and anxiety. Injuries, can we just turn injuries off in Madden and in real life so we don't have to talk about those, but worried about anytime there's a young player like an LVN and Oladapo or Tucker Kraft, like just got to try to make sure it doesn't set them back in any way. Jair feels like a changed man. Jaden Reed is a better version of Randall Cobb per Jair Alexander and basically for me as well. Offensive line, I like Rashid Walker, Zach Tom on the outsides, Elton inside, and then it's the next best two, whether that's Jordan Morgan, whether that's Sean Ryan, whether that's Josh Myers, whoever the best two end up being, and then figure out Elton Jenkins from there. And then competition, competition, competition is all over the roster and should make for a very fun summer. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I will see you guys right back here tomorrow. Shout out to Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Shea Bra Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, and Arnaldo, I am so sorry. I do this every single time. I don't know why I get to the last one. Arnaldo Espinoza. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.